What to do on Tuesday nights? Tune into Community Radio to be ERU-FM 89.9 on Blue Hill and check out Southern Wind from 8 to 10 p.m. with me, Rick Pamilia. Lots of great music from everywhere south of here, from great Latin guitarists to the funky rhythms in New Orleans. If you think the alternatives aren't good enough, then get up and move the dial over to Community Radio.
Stand still, then it's time to get up and move. I like my sugar a little salty.
That's Southern Wind, Tuesdays from 8 to 10 p.m. on listener-supported WERU-FM Blue Hill. So don't turn to the blues unless it's on community radio. It'll make you feel so good.
Yes, it's so damn good.
Support for WERU comes from DeMonte Burleyan Arts, photography and creative services in Maine at burleyanarts.com. That's B-E-R-L-I-A-N arts.com.
It's just a few seconds before 10 o'clock, and you are tuned to WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill, 99.9 Bangor, although that is offline right now, but we are, as always, around the world at WERU.org live streaming. Coming up next, we've got Michael Donahue and Maine Arts Alive.
And welcome one and all to Maine Arts Alive. I am your host, Michael Donahue, and again, welcome. It's good to have you listening today. The point that I always make as host of this program is that how lucky we are to live in this state of Maine, and especially in this kind of, well, everywhere, but certainly coming from the down east arena, we are blessed, really blessed with the, not the plethora of groups, but the caliber. And perhaps one of the leading organizations that I'm talking about when I say that is located up in Winter Harbor, and it's Skudik Arts for All, which our executive director is here, Mary Lowry. Mary, how long has Skudik Arts been around?
Hi, Michael. Skudik Arts for All had its first Skudik Arts Festival in 1999. That was shortly after the Winter Harbor Navy Base announced its closure. And Skudik Arts for All, as some of you know, was developed as an economic engine to bring prosperity back to Winter Harbor and the Skudik Peninsula. So we started our first festival in 1999. It was a raging success, and it has grown from a two-week arts festival to a year-round full-service art center that is sprinkled all the way across the Skudik Peninsula with performances, workshops, and exhibits.
And I think we might as well emphasize now and will again that you're a year-round operation. And I know a lot of folks I talk to think, oh, it's a beautiful summer operation, but that's it. You're year-round.
Indeed, we are here year-round. In fact, we do 80 or so live performances a year.
80?
About 80, yeah. We do a monthly coffee house every last Friday of the month. That is one of our more popular programs. People come for the concert, but they also come for the apple pie and cheesecake and locally roasted Rooster Brother coffee that we serve. So that's that's a total kick every month. People come for the community. We set up little four-top tables with funky old tablecloths, and people come and visit with their friends while they're watching a concert. But also, we have a theater lab that performs and does readings all year long, and we have lots and lots of community programs that are ongoing. I'll just name a few of them, and they're all open to the public. We have a painting group and a life drawing group. We have a ukulele club that meets every week, and that's headed up by Daryl Whitney. And if you don't have a uke, you can borrow one of our ukes. We have Fairwinds Recorder Group. We have a singing circle. We have yoga. Anyway, all these things are ongoing programs, as well as all year long workshops.
And one of the things, one of the areas that you mentioned to me earlier, Mary, was working with children. And we have with us someone who does a bit of that. Her name is Jessica Pyle Manning House, which does not fit on a driver's license. Jessica, can you tell us a little bit about the areas that you work with?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. It has been really fun to work with the art club after schools. The children get out of school and are able to participate in different art classes afterwards. And so what I offered when I was asked to participate was felting. And I do needle felting.
Felting, as in cloth, felt?
Yeah, so I do needle felting. I take wool roving, and I poke it with a felting needle, and this locks the fibers together. And it creates, you know, a piece of fabric, but we can do pictures that way. So when I went into the classroom, we were able to explore the different things you can make, and that included them making beautiful pictures. One of them made this beautiful hat that she kind of coiled around, kind of like you would, a coil pot in pottery. They did little sculptures. It was really fun. And every week after school during art club, they were able to really explore this tactile art form that's really flexible. And so there was a lot of enthusiasm as they figured out, oh, I can do this. And if I do that, I can turn it into a dog or a cat, or this is a picture of my mom.
So their personal involvement was expressed in this form, and that seems to me what education's all about.
Yeah,
is making that connection. Absolutely. And in this show in particular, arts and education has been a real center of my concentration too.
Mary? Give a little bit more of a cross section of our after school kids art club that Jessica was just talking about. This runs all the way through the school year in two locations. We do one of the art clubs is the Peninsula School in Prospect Harbor, and Jessica was teaching at the Ella Lewis School in Steuben. And the way it's kind of structured is kind of an interesting structure is that the kids have a chalkboard in the location, and they write on the chalkboard what they want to learn how to do. If they want to learn how to knit, we go out and find a knitting teacher. If they want to learn how to do pottery, we go out and find a pottery teacher. And those little pods are 1 month at a time. So they'll do pottery for a month, needle felting for a month, knitting for a month. And I have a kind of a favorite story, if I can just tell. I was over at the Peninsula School. One of the things that the kids wanted to learn how to do was to do quilting. So we went out and we found a quilting teacher. And the kids actually walked down to our studio from the Peninsula School, and we saw this group of middle school kids coming down to art club for the quilting class, 11 boys, 11 middle school boys, and no girls, which was awesomely cool. So we get into this quilting class, and they're all making these quilts, and they're sewing. They learned how to iron, all these boys. And I was helping one of the young boys dig out some stitches. Sometimes that's a really tedious part, is digging out stitches. And we were chatting, and he said to me, he's going to be a lobsterman when he grows up, and his dad's a lobsterman, and his grandfather's a lobsterman. And we were just chatting about him sitting here at a sewing machine making a quilt, and he said, well, I wanted to learn how to sew because I make these wooden model boats, and I wanted to learn how to sew so that I could make the sails for the boats, and I'm going to sell the boats on eBay for $30 each, and I'm going to make some money. So it's just a favorite story because, you know, you teach a child a skill, and you just don't know where they're going to go with it. They're going to take it and run with it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, too, that impresses me is this melding together of different art forms that, presented as a whole, are a learning experience unto themselves. And you've got an event coming up, Mary, that's very intriguing, and it's Allison Chase and her dance group. One of the the things that Allison talked about in some of the literature I saw is that she wants to bring together the theater, the performing arts, the dance, all of this in a kind of a tableau. And she's going to be doing this performance all around the state and coming up to you guys when?
Well, this Thursday is our Allison Chase On Plain Air Dancing with Steel performance. That's the 28th at 7 o'clock. Allison Chase is a world-known choreographer, as you know. She was a founder of the dance ensemble called Palabolas, just one of the more important choreographers of our time, I think. When she was working with her dancers, she looked at dance and partner working in a completely different way, a new way that where the dancers interact in a physical way that's, I think she calls it skeleton to skeleton, which is dancing together, touching, lifting. It's very athletic, very acrobatic. It's very aerial. And I can't tell you how thrilled I am that she's willing to come from her wonderful background with her dancers from New York City to Little Winter Harbor, as well as to other places around the state. You know, she's doing this series of outdoor performances in all the way from Portland all the way up the coast to Winter Harbor. And I asked her what inspired her to do outdoor dance performances. And one of the things she talked about was that In taking the dancers to the different communities, these dances and the choreography are inspired by the site. They're site-specific. And she talks about, you know, people come to Maine to be outside. Each community is different. Each location has a different backdrop. Our backdrop happens to be the Rockefeller Building at the Scutic Institute out on Scutic Point in Acadia National Park. So this performance is part of the Acadia Centennial Celebration, and we're thrilled about that. But, you know, she wants to build an audience for dance around the state of Maine. We enthusiastically responded in the affirmative and just dove into this idea that it's a rain or shine performance. We're praying for good weather. It's outdoors, so bring a seat. But, you know, I also talked to Allison last night to bring her voice into this radio program about some of the challenges that or some of the learning, I guess I should say, that she's been facing while preparing for outdoor performances, because she's got this outdoor stage that's in part thanks to a grant from the Maine Community Foundation. And one of the things that they ended up having to do just to start their rehearsals for their first performance, which I believe is tonight, is they actually had to plow. First they had to mow the field, then they had to plow the field. Then they had to rake the field, and they had to level the field, and they set up the stage, and they found that the sun was so hot that the black surface of the stage, which is a floor called a marley floor, it's sort of rubberized, it got so hot the dancers couldn't dance on it in their bare feet, so they had to turn it upside down. Anyway, outdoor performance is just this whole realm unto itself, but she has dancers from all over the world that create together as a collaborative a collaboration on an idea. So they sort of work on this alchemy of play together that brings in this emotionally interesting content. When you touch and lean on someone or lift someone, it's just it's an interesting context of exchange. They're based out of New York and in Maine. We're so fortunate that Allison has lived in Maine most of her life, though she has a New York City dance company. So that's how we're fortunate enough to have her come up here to do a dance performance. And the other thing that's really fortuitous is that her nephew happens to be Nigel Chase, who is the steel pan guru with his dad Carl Chase around this area. They make all the pans and they perform pans all around the area. And Nigel and his band Atlantic Clarion Steel Pan Band are going to be doing the music for this dance performance. Interestingly, it's a huge undertaking for Nigel to have rearrange the musical scores for these dances so that it can be accompanied by steel pans. It's just something that I wouldn't even have thought too much about. But anyway, they're going to be using traditional Trinidadian instruments, including something called bamboo tambu, the precursor of the steel pan tradition in Trinidad, which is made with bamboo sticks, poles, I guess you'd call them, that are very tribal. They're used as percussion instruments against the floor of the stage, which becomes the resonating chamber. So here's this 10-piece Trinidadian band, 6 dancers out of New York City. It's just astounding that we have this here in Little Winter Harbor. So that's going to be Thursday night out at the Skudik Institute campus in Acadia National Park at Skudik Point.
And if someone wants information, how do they contact you?
You can call our telephone number, 963-2569, or go to our website, skudikartsforall.org.
And again, that's Thursday night, you say?
Thursday night, Thursday 7 night. O'clock, rain or shine, bring something to sit on.
Okay. Interesting, as you say, she's been going to be doing this throughout the state. And there was several articles, one in the paper down in Portland and Bangor Daily News and so on. She talks about the trials, as you just mentioned, of outdoor performance. And anyone in the arts who has worked outside knows that outside invites catastrophe, or at least the potential for catastrophe. And I think it's very brave of her to do this because, as you say, that surface that the dancers dance on to protect it both gives them traction and protects their feet. And to have it not really as in good a shape by the heat, as you say, is going to be interesting to watch how they deal with that. But good, that's certainly one great event. But as we say, the organization has got a ton of other things that it does as well. Your list of things that you do, what would be, where do we start? What, is there one thing that's the kind of leads the list, so to speak?
Well, certainly, as you said originally, the Skudik Arts Festival is our flagship program, and there's lots and lots that we can talk about the Skudik Arts Festival, which is coming up actually starting on Monday, this coming Monday. We're at the doorstep of the Skudik Arts Festival 2016, and we have about 85 workshops and 26 performances in 14 days.
Wow.
So it's a big party, as well as a couple of art exhibits. So it's our big party. And Jessica is here. She's one of our teachers, not only for our kids programs, but also for the Skudik Arts Festival workshops. And perhaps she could tell us a little bit about what she's doing there.
Please.
Okay. Well, first off, I'd like to say it's really hard when you look at the list of workshops. How do you fit them all in? There's so many good ones that you as an artist often want to take that it feels like, you know, a kid in a candy store where you're just, which one can I squeeze into my schedule?
Let me ask you this. Who's the prime audience for this?
Oh, there are so many ages. It goes all the way from children all the way up.
But it's general audience. I mean, you said so, it's not just for artists.
It's not just for artists. It's for anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had classes even last year at the festival where people said, I can't draw. I just thought this looked fun, so I thought I'd come, but I probably won't be able to make anything artistic. And I always say the same thing. You are an artist. You just have to remember, you know, that you are an artist. It's something you came in with innately. It's a human trait. And they walked out having created art and they said, I can't believe this happened because I really don't think of myself as creative in any way.
This is a whole topic for a program, I guess, because we were talking at one point about someone who deals with cave drawings.
Oh, nice.
And how artistic they are. And there probably was not one caveman or woman between them that thought of themselves as artists, but they painted what they saw, and it was intrinsic.
Yeah.
It just comes from someplace inside us. Fascinating. So tell us more about some of these events that are going on.
Well, I, as a felting artist, specifically needle felting, I'm going to be teaching several different classes. Some are geared specifically towards children. There's a felted painting class we're going to do. It's pictures. And that's geared specifically for children to make sure that children know that they are included in the festivities, that there are classes just for them. And then there's a felted gnome class, a felted greeting card class, a cell phone cozy cover, a needle felted journal, and felted ornaments. These are all needle felted. In addition to that, there are other artists coming in who are also teaching many different classes that involve wool and fiber arts. There's a knitting class. There's Nuno felting, which is a wet felting technique. There's a textile dyeing class with silks. And then, you know, not to mention the plethora of jewelry and metalworking classes that I came across when I was looking through. I'm sure that that we can talk more about that. But it's quite a list, and there's quite a list of different artists involved. I recognize the name of Nisa Smiley, whose beautiful earrings and jewelry have always been coveted by me. And she's going to be teaching some classes.
So we have cloth, we have jewelry. What other areas?
Let's see. There's also, there's basket weaving. That there's different kinds of basket weaving available, including a footstool class where you actually weave the part that you would sit on or rest your feet on. Corn husk dolls. There's a paper string light class where you cover them with your own little custom lanterns. That's very decorative.
Explain that a little bit more.
That one actually is taught by Nisa Smiley as well. It's little string lights, like Christmas lights.
Okay.
And then you make delicate, beautiful little lanterns to go over each bulb.
Oh, I see.
So you get your own kind of custom, artistically done string of lights. Alcohol inks. I'm not as familiar with that. There's paper cutting, polymer beads and small sculptures out of like the polymer clays.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the name of the different clays, Sculpey and things like that. So there's kind of a wide range, and then there's also the cooking that's in there as well. My daughters were coveting all of the baking classes.
Any performance arts?
Yep. There's some listed. I think that Mary would have that list off the top of her head.
Okay.
There's even hula hooping and yoga. There's also movement classes involved. So it's quite a wide range of activities. You could take one of each.
And most of these are open to any age, or it's each has their own age group,
Pretty much, they try to get a very, very wide range of ages so that as many people can participate as possible in the course of the festival.
For both of you, what do you consider a successful festival? How would you define a festival that you walk away from saying that was just great success?
I'll jump in here. You know, when we're talking about qualitative and quantitative evaluations of festivals, it's always difficult because it's not like we can say we fixed the teeth of 15 first graders or whatever it is. So to me, success is when we hear from people that say, just like Jessica's story, you know, I never thought I could do this. I didn't know I had it in me. Now I know that I have a creative spirit, and I'm going to keep on going. Another thing that I think is always a great part of success is I've got a little story to tell of a family in Winter Harbor whose family member, young family member, came to the festival year after year after year as a kid, and really felt like the Scudic Arts Festival awakened this artist within her, and she went on to a career in the arts. She went on to Mass Arts in Boston, and just was accepted in an apprenticeship with a nationally known pottery studio in Seattle. She credits Scudic Arts for All as kindling the flame early in her life. So to me, that's success, when we can have a wonderful effect on a person for all of their lives.
That's a truly enviable goal. Jessica, would you add anything to that? Or
I wholeheartedly agree. It always feels successful when anybody who participates in a workshop or a class walks out and they've lit up a light inside of them that they either had forgotten about or they didn't even know they had.
Right.
And they have that glow and they suddenly have built in themselves, they have this idea that they are more capable than they had previously thought. And I think any time anyone of any age, small children, I've seen it too. When you light that light and you suddenly feel more capable of creating in your life in any way, whether it's in movement or art or singing, anything like that, I think we become lighter. We change the way we see our lives. So when I see someone leave a class and they say, I can't believe I did this. I want to go home and do it again. I just think that is success.
Do you have people coming back year after year to perfect what they've discovered?
I have had people come back and repeat classes just to say, I wanted to come back and do a little bit more of this or ask some questions. But I often will actually give my phone number and my email address, and I'll say to the students, any questions, if you run into a snag or anything, please call me or email me and I'll help you get through it. But I have had a few come back just to take the class again. Either they had so much fun and they wanted to do it again, or they wanted to kind of like, you know, take another one, just a refresher to see whether they can gain some more.
Mary, I know you came with some comments, and I should tell our listeners that we are in conversation here with folks from Skudik Arts for All, Mary Lowry, who's the executive director, and Jessica Pyle Manninghouse, who is works with the festival and the children in this very, very exciting program, a lot about to happen. Mary, I know because our studio phone lines are down due to lightning strike, we couldn't get some of these folks to call in, but they've given you some quotes. Is there anything you would like to pass along to us?
Well, thank you, Michael, for asking that question. You know, we affect so many people's lives throughout the year. There was a few people that were planning on calling in but are unable to, and so I asked them if they would like to have their voice brought into this conversation. And I have a quote here from one of our pottery teachers at the festival, Tim Christensen. Tim is a porcelain artist. He teaches for the festival. He teaches classes for us outside of the festival. But he also has a unique living situation, which is that he has chosen to live off the grid and off the electrical grid, and yet he's a potter. And to make a living with one's art in pottery, one needs electricity and a kiln and a wheel, and although he has a kick wheel. And so one of the things that happens in our case is that Tim makes use of our art studio, which is equipped with all this stuff, and he's able to make his living with his artwork while living off the grid. And Tim says, and I'll quote him here, while establishing an off-the-grid home and studio in Down East Maine, the Combs Studio and Skudik Arts for All have been invaluable. The workspace and support they provide and the resulting stability have been a vital tool in establishing myself without debt in an ecologically sensitive home and workspace. I would not have been able to do this without their help. So that's very gratifying for us to hear. We have a studio as one of our three buildings that is a public studio. We have artists come in and teach, work, and take classes in that studio space.
The idea of professionals using the studios and so on, is this a regular part of your activities, or was that an exception?
It's becoming more and more of a regular activity. Yeah. If a teacher wants to rent the space to teach their own class, they're able to do that. If they want to teach a class in our space and they want it to be a Skudik Arts for All class, they can come and talk to us about how to do that. So we've got this beautiful studio space that has 11 pottery wheels and a couple of kilns and a metalworking shop for jewelry work. And there's woodworking equipment in there as well. So if there are teachers that want to teach or become part of the teaching faculty at Skudik Arts for All, that's available for use.
The time has come when I need to do some station ID here, and I need to inform I would imagine for our listeners, there's probably some comments and questions out there. Unfortunately, our studio lines, in other words, the lines that come in to us, were hit by lightning and not available. So you can store up those questions, or you can call Mary or Jessica after the show. But I need to tell you that we are WERU Community Radio, and that we are 89.9 in the Blue Hill area. We are 99.9 in Bangor, and the Bangor equally was having problems. This has just been an interesting day or two of how community radio survives no matter what, even when it gets a direct hit by lightning. We're, due to the fact that we have got super people here, we're on the air hours after it hit. We are limping, but we are doing the community radio bit here beautifully, especially with groups such as the ones we have here. Scudic Arts for All, Mary Lowry. Mary, I want to ask you a personal question.
Okay.
Where did you come from? I mean, what is your background? How did this all, this, you have been the voice of this organization now for some time. This organization in part defines you and you define it, but where did you come from?
Well, I started out with Scudic Arts for All as an instructor, actually. I came from an arts background. I was teaching watercolor painting at the time and drawing. And, in fact, I was teaching ballroom and Latin and swing dance. And so in 1999 at the festival, I was teaching. And in 2000, the festival grew to such a scope that they needed to hire an executive director, and so I was hired to come into that position in beginning in 2001. So I came to the organization not as an administrator, but as an artist. And, you know, I felt like my connection to the arts culture around the state of Maine and the artists and performers was a great asset to bring into this position. Little did I know that arts administration is only a certain percentage of talking to artists. The rest is...
About what, 2%?
maybe that, yeah. Yeah. The rest is promoting artists, which is probably the biggest thing that I do. Certainly trying to find funding. Excuse me. Certainly maintaining the buildings. I didn't know I was going to be a building manager. But when the toilet is stuffed up and the executive director has a plunger in her hand, that's what the executive director does.
Right.
But, you know, so much of it has been so gratifying to be able to work with the most interesting and creative people anywhere in the world, and especially in the state of Maine.
Jessica, there is a coming together of the arts, as you just expressed with these workshops. But it's places like Scudic Art that provide this opportunity. How did you get involved with this organization, and what are your goals for yourself with it?
Oh. Well, my goal is always, it's always to get as many people making art on a daily basis as possible. I have this dream and this theory that if everyone took a moment in their day to make art, like we cook a meal or we do the dishes or we do laundry, if we treated it as something that was necessary in our day, that our lives would change for the better. So the way I came to the Scudic
Arts
for All.
This is a good story.
It is. Out of the blue, actually, I got contacted by Mary, and I had out of the blue. Nice. I had no idea. And I was new to Maine. I moved from the West Coast, from Portland, Oregon, and I was still new. It was a couple of years ago. And she said, someone gave us your name to teach needle felting. And I thought, who gave my name? I had no idea. I don't know many people. And we began to communicate via email, and she told me about the festival, and I looked it up, and I went, how did I not know about the festival? Does everyone know about the festival? And I started kind of talking to people about the festival. And did you know there's a place that makes art available for everyone? And I communicated with her, and we set up a couple of classes. And I went, and I was just amazed at how wonderful it was to have, you know, so many different people from so many different walks of life coming in to make art. And, you know, there was, when I first drove up on, there were some tents set up and it was raining and I had had no cell service and I didn't know where I was supposed to be. And the volunteers were friendly and there were people of all different ages and they were saying, oh, well, there's this class happening over there and we're going to have a live performance and music will be here. And I think you're over here. And they got me set up. And after the first, you know, the first few moments, I was hooked. And I thought, I hope I can teach every year from now on. Yeah. And so immediately, actually, I spoke to Mary about next year, do you think we can do this again? And then I got invited to the art club, which was wonderful, and I wish I could do every afternoon. Yeah. It was time for the festival again. So it was kind of a fun journey to discover this, and I've been spreading the word as much as possible down near my area, which is central Maine, over near Pittsfield, Clinton, Unity. Just, hey, there's this festival, and we should get more art going, and it's worth a trip north.
Now, what is your aspirations for yourself as an artist?
For myself as an artist? Oh, that's a good question. Honestly, I want to make art, and I'd like to be able to make a living doing it, you know, but just making it makes my entire life better. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. I have it in a couple of galleries.
I think that's as good a reason as any. Mary, a couple of things. I see you have something you want to add, but I want to ask, what kind of attendance numbers generally, how many people attend this festival?
Well, the festival is in a couple of different sections. One is the workshops that Jessica's been talking about. We have about 550 people that come through our workshops in the summer in those 2 weeks. Certainly, there's an economic impact on the peninsula with that many people coming through. But beyond that, we have another, I would say, 1,200 people that come through our festival performances. And probably another 1,000 people that visit our exhibits. So the performances, there's a performance every night, and then there's a free performance or event every noon. It's not always a performance. Sometimes it's a little guitar concert. Sometimes it's a one of the things we're having this year is foraging wild foods. There's a children's Shakespeare participatory noontime free event this year, which is going to be fun. And one of the professors from the University of Maine, who's a professor of mathematics, is doing a children's, well, it isn't just for children, I certainly am going to be there, a free event that is string games like Cat's Cradle.
Oh, yes.
You know, remember those?
Yeah.
So anyway, there's all that is a huge amount of traffic flow through the peninsula.
There was something that you wanted to add there to Jessica?
When we were talking about artists in Maine making their living with their art, one of the things that our staff has done this year, Anna Wolf has done an incredible job with the website of putting up artist pages. So all of our artists instructors, Jessica has her own page on our website. So if you go to her class and you click on her name, it will take you to an artist page with their artist biography, which you can then also click on, and it links to the artist's website. So one of our goals, in addition to providing education and experiences and performances for the public, is also to help enable our Maine artists to make their living in Maine with their art.
Well, that's kind of a threshold to what I was going to expound upon, because any organization such as this that enables artists to practice their craft is certainly both a wonderful resource for the artists, but think of the economic benefit to that region, that number of people coming in to classes, that number of people throughout the year participating in this organization. One of these days we're going to do a program with town managers and so on, talk about economic impact of the arts. As you know, the Maine Arts Commission has been doing a variety of studies around this and has been slowly releasing some absolutely astounding figures as to impact.
Mm-hmm, indeed.
It's truly remarkable, and I applaud this group for that. Jessica mentioned that, Mary, you may have a little more input on some of the performing things, the Performing Arts Festival.
Well, we have during the festival, we have a performance every night. And some of these performances are, there's the first one that opens it up is our own Skudik Summer Chorus, which is an ongoing study chorus that we have every year under the direction of Anna Demska, a well-known director and conductor and composer. Tuesday, we've got a performance called Yo Miss, which is a performing a theatrical performance that's a multimedia performance with Judith Sloan. Her subtitle is Transforming Trauma into Art. So that's going to be a really cutting edge, really super cool performance. We've got another interesting event that's called We Run the Ship. That's the Barn Arts Collective. That performance is it's one of those stories that it's an interactive story where the children in the audience can direct the way the performance ends, the way the story ends. So I'm really eager to see that. That's going to be a blast. And kids are always free to all our performances anyway.
So what age group is this?
Well, it's really all ages, but the it's directed at kids.
I see. So I could go there and I could suggest an ending.
You could suggest an ending. Yes, you could, Michael.
Okay.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah.
But we've got concerts. We've got a storyteller. Gus LaCase is going to be doing a fiddle concert, and he's going to be on WERU in a little while, too. He's just an amazing prodigy, I would call him, as a fiddle player. Chris Gray is going to do Celtic music. Everybody loves Celtic music. Don't you love the bagpipes?
Yes. I actually discovered in my 20s that live bagpipe music makes me burst into uncontrollable tears.
Oh, my goodness. How interesting.
I trace it back to my Scottish roots. Oh. It must be some memory.
Let me tell you, for someone who goes through the same thing, that this is not unique.
Oh, really?
There is something about bagpipe music for some people that hits a resonant chord inside them, which is a memory chord. I would say for those many people who hate bagpipe music, they just are unfortunate that they do not have that chord in there, because bagpipe music could lead me anywhere.
Me, I agree.
So who else, Mary?
Oh, let's see. We've got Mr. Magic is coming on Sunday. He's a magician. He's going to bring his doves. We've got another multimedia performance called In the Blood with Sumner McCain and Josh Robbins. That's going to be historic. It's sort of about the lumbering industry in Maine. There's going to be historic photos projected on the screen while live music is played. One of the things that I'm really excited about, because I like to dance, is on Tuesday, August 9th, Primo Cubano is going to be performing. So we're going to get out there and do some salsa and merengue, I hope. Destroy Them, My Robots, who's I think a WERU regular. They're a group that are going to be performing stuff from the 80s. Trapped in the 80s with no intentions of leaving is what they have to say. And then we've got Further Down East, which is a theater lab. It's a Skudik Arts for All theater lab performance that's a sort of a comic parody on Life Down East, which is going to be a blast. It's an original play by Brent Hutchins. Frogtown Mountain Puppeteers are going to be performing on Friday, August 12th. They're going to perform Everybody Loves Pirates, so dress up in your favorite pirate costume and come on over. Aside as a sneak peek at the other lives of the puppeteers, the Frogtown Mountain Puppeteers, they're also the same people that are performing in Destroy Them, My Robots. So it's the alter ego of the puppets.
Multifaceted talent, right.
Contra Dance on Saturday night and the final showcase on Sunday night. That kind of wraps the festival performances. They're stupendous. They're $5 a performance. And if you think you can't beat a $5 ticket for these performances, check this out. If you buy a pass for all 14 performances, it's only $2.50 a night. Mm-hmm. So why not do that and just come every night? They're at 7 o'clock. They last about an hour and 20 minutes. And there's still time to go out to the pub and listen to more music and have some fried clams.
Listen to bagpipe music.
Listen to bagpipe, yeah.
Preferably bagpipe music.
May I ask just quickly here, what is the cost of attending a session at the festival?
Of attending a workshop.
Yeah.
A workshop. The workshops, it depends on the cost of the materials, and it depends on the duration of the hours of the festival workshop. So materials are included in the cost when you see the price in the catalog. We charge $10 a class time hour. So that's how you can figure out how come this class cost $20 and this one cost $100. Oh, it's $10 a class time hour plus the cost of materials, which is such a bargain. It's $10 a class time hour. You can't beat it. So if a class is 5 hours long and it has $10 worth of materials, it's $60.
Gotcha. Jessica, are you going to say something there?
I was just, when she mentioned the final showcase, unfortunately, I was out of town last year and was not able to attend. But I loved the idea of having anyone who had participated in a class be able to bring their work and show what they had created during the festival. So I really encouraged everyone who participated in the classes that I taught to take their work and really not be ashamed in any way. I know people sometimes get embarrassed. But I
embarrassed to show their
embarrassed to show their work. Yeah, okay. Just kind of some people are enthusiastic and some people are a little more shy about it. And I try to encourage them all to take their work and really show it because
show it to whom?
To show it during the final showcase. So when when we all gather together at the end of the festival, everybody kind of gets to show what they've created, if they've made earrings or if they've made a felted picture, or this year there'll be felted gnomes, things like that, that they can show it and actually say, I didn't know how to etch in metal, or I didn't know how to weave a basket or felt a picture or, you know, work with glass, and look what I've created. And I think that what that does is create a supportive and aware community. Somebody who may not have taken the class might think, maybe I can take a class like that. I think it's kind of spreads that awareness and, again, builds that confidence level in an individual, as well as showing that their community supports artists, even if you've never had any experience.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's
good
so
points.
Well said, Jessica. Just to give folks the picture of the final showcase, we put up about 300 pieces of visual art for that evening. Everything, as Jessica said, that was created in the 80-some-odd workshops. And then at 7 o'clock, we have a showcase on stage, which is the performing arts workshops. We'll do a little 2 or 3 minute piece. For example, Dance Around the World is going to be doing some of the dances that were taught in that class. And the hip-hop kids are going to do hip-hop. And the hula hooping are going to do hula hooping on the stage. And penny whistle class and tin whistle class, they're all going to be doing their little showcase, again, to inspire people that might not have taken that class. Maybe they want to take that class next year.
So I'm getting a little confused here. The festival lasts how long?
The festival's 14 days long.
Okay.
The final showcase is the last event of the festival.
So if someone was there on the first day doing something, they've got to come back 13 days later to show it off?
Well, that's always, of course, a challenge if people are traveling through.
Yeah.
Having said that, some people do travel through, and some people live there and are still going to be around on the 14th day. So to make it a little easier for the performance artists to perform on the final showcase evening, we've put most of the performance arts in the last half of the festival.
I see. Now I understand. I pictured all these hundreds of people waiting around 13 days.
With their baskets in their hand.
Right.
Yeah.
Mary, I noticed that you were using a catalog or a brochure here. How do people get a hold of a copy of that?
If you want a paper catalog, you can email me at info@scudigartsforall.org, and I'll put one in the mail to you. But everything that's in the catalog is also on our website at scudigartsforall.org, and you can register right there through the website for any of the workshops.
That's Scudic Arts for All, one word.
Correct.
dot org. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
And the telephone number?
963-2569.
Okay, now let's repeat it for those who couldn't grab a pencil fast enough.
The telephone number is area code 207-963-2569. And the website address is scuticartsforall.org.
Wonderful. We have some time left before we close out. I'd like to just take a break here to mention a couple of things and then come back to Mary and Jessica. Those of you that are regular listeners to this show may recall a recent show with Ashley Bryan, the Lewis Kane Productions has made this video, I Knew a Man. If any of you listening have an opportunity to follow up with that program and see that video, I saw it aired in Bar Harbor at the Criterion Theater, which was jammed with folks. It's just an absolutely remarkable video. And I say this as a follow-up to the show. The show was the last month, and you can see it on the archives if you want. But Ashley Bryan is someone who I think all of you should at least know what he does and know how he does it, because it's inspirational at the very best. There's also a couple of things coming up. Just to let you know that the last of the Bach Festival in the Blue Hill area on July 26th is doing the Magnificat. I'm not pronouncing that right, I know. So St. John's Catholic Church in Bangor. And I also was asked to mention, and I do so quite willingly, because this is a wonderful group. The Penobscot Theater Company has announced their schedule for the upcoming year, which is, as usual, a varied and interesting schedule. Calendar Girls opens up in September, followed by Murder for Two in October. December is that wonderful, absolutely wonderful musical called Oliver. And if you haven't seen Oliver, go see it. In February, Lumberjacks in Love. Now that one should be interesting. March, April is Papermaker. And then the end of the season, I Loved, I Lost, I Made Spaghetti. I think it's worth going just to figure out what the heck they're talking about. But that's Penobscot Theater Company. And like the group we're talking with today, they just offer a plethora of absolutely fascinating, creative, energetic, educational activities. Mary, what are your goals for Scutic Arts for All, the future?
Well, the future of Scutic Arts for All, you know, way back in 2002, we had a board retreat and we created a plan for where we wanted to see Scutic Arts for All as a presence in the community. And it's remarkable to take a look back at that and just realize that we've really reached all of the goals that we had set up at that time. I'll give a couple of examples. We, at the time, talked about wanting to have a performance center, and we've achieved that performance center with Hammond Hall, certainly. We wanted to expand our educational offerings, and we've certainly been able to do that, not only through the festival, but through the use of the Combs Studio with year-round workshops, and indeed other artist studios with year-round workshops. So the third arm of that, which we've just recently achieved, was community, a community-centered building, which is a building that we now call the Scutic Arts for All Schoolhouse. That's a building that was the town office in Winter Harbor, and we have all of our community groups there. So those three buildings sort of represent the three arms of Scutic Arts for All, which would be performance, education, and community. So expanding on that, now that we've achieved the goals of having the centers and the physical places to do that, we are poised on a cusp of expansion into the future. We're really seeing a change and a conversion and a maturity, maybe one would say, between our our achievement of those initial goals as we look to the future. We're looking at expansion. We're looking at sustainability. We're looking at permanence in the community. You know, we really are finding that there are indications of the fact that we're here to stay. Last year, we received a funding from the Maine Arts Commission that's called Creative Communities Equals Economic Development. That was a real boon to our position in the community. We received a bequest from Jeremy Strader that allows us to do one special event a year that we otherwise wouldn't have been able to do, which this year is the Allison Chase performance. So we're here to stay. We're here to stay into the future. And we've achieved the goals that we've set up for our growth so far.
There are, as I recall, and this may be faulty, as I recall, there is a organization, for want of a better association maybe, of festivals across the country. I'm wondering if working together with some of these other festivals, especially ones who have growing name recognition like you do, is something that's part of your future goals.
It's interesting to hear you say that. And it's a great suggestion that we should probably act upon.
Well, yeah, not that I've crossed the whole country, but I've crossed enough of the country to know that, especially in the summer, I always end up landing at some festival somewhere. And I bet working together, you can achieve some of those lofty goals you have.
Well, it's always been my idea that together we can do more than we can do alone.
Yeah. And now, Jessica, for you as an artist, you're going to stay working with the festival. What are you doing other than the festival?
I am always looking for opportunities to teach. So I tend to teach down in Portland. I have a workshop coming up with a couple different people around the state, MOFCA. Then a couple places up in a couple workshops are in the works for Bangor. I have new products that have come out with felted earrings and felted hair pieces that are going into galleries and stores all over Maine. And
these felted headpieces, I don't want to interrupt you. You're saying built like coils?
Well,
like the
actually, they're little tiny felted pictures of usually birds, and then I do fine embroidery of mandalas and stuff around them, and then I actually kind of back and frame them with wool felt, pre-made wool felt, so they look like a little cameo, not tiny, that I then put on a clip so you can wear it in your hair. I'm also working on books. My first book came out last year, so I've got a second book in the works, and hopefully more after that.
What you have a website, I'm sure.
I do.
What is it?
My website is www.themoongoat.com.
You like long names.
Yes, yes. I am quite of a name person.
No, say that again.
It's www.themoongoat.com.
G-O-A-T.
Yes.
All one word.
All one word.
And that's followed by your name, Jessica Pyle Manning House.
No, it well, yes, once you reach there.
By that time, I'd be exhausted.
Right. Almost all the letters in the alphabet have been exhausted at that point.
Well, that's great. That's great. As we close, Mary.
I thought it would be interesting for people to know about a couple of new things that are coming along as we move into the season. One of the things that we're doing and have been doing for the past year is these fabulously successful wood turning workshops. It's a new realm for us, and as part of that, as an extension of that, we're doing a program called the Down East Turnaround on September 24th. It's a day-long free day of fun around wood lathes, and there's going to be demos in the morning and hands-on in the afternoon. It's going to be a blast. I'm a wood turner myself, and I just love that kind of stuff. A couple of other new things that we've got coming up in the festival that we haven't done before is we're doing a pit firing workshop with a nationally known instructor who's going to be bringing in, we're going to build a fire pit with bricks and pack the clay and fire it off during the festival.
My goodness. Is there anything you guys are not doing?
Well, I don't know. We're doing quite a lot of things.
Seriously, is there an art form that you haven't touched yet that you'd love to see?
Well, I don't know. If anybody has ideas of things that they'd like to see,
absolutely.
Get in touch with me.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, I want to thank Mary Lowry, who's the executive director of Skudik Arts for All, and Jessica Pyle Manning House, who is a teacher at the festival. So I guess I'll end by saying I'll see you all at the festival, and have a great day.